Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. We're going to be speaking about your finances and what God's Word has to say about instruction regarding finances, how to deal with our money. And just as an overview, if you didn't listen to last week's broadcast, you can get it on the website, gatheroutcast.com, and listen to that. It was the Jesus Authority Over Finances, part one, and so this will be part two. And just to give a brief review about what we spoke about last week, we went to the Proverbs, and if you've never read through the Proverbs, I urge you to do that. There's a lot of instruction in Proverbs on how to deal with finances and just basic principles of hard work and principles of integrity, character, and principles of saving and being thrifty and also being generous. When you have resources put into your hand and you have blessings that the Lord has given you, to disperse those blessings, to be able to bless other people in the name of Jesus, and to encourage other people by blessing them and giving them things in the name of Jesus, whether it be food or water or money or clothing, shelter, all those things. And so when you have resources that have been put into your hand by the kingdom, God's will is not that we just keep feathering our own nest. It's not God's will that we keep pumping up our lifestyle and buy more vacation homes and more fancy cars and bigger houses. It's God's will that we use that money that He puts into our hand to advance the kingdom, that money and those resources can be used to win souls, to bring people into the kingdom. Virtually everything that comes into our hand is given to us by God. Yes, we go to work. Yes, we spend our days in toil. But God is the one who multiplies. God is the one who blesses us with all blessings from His kingdom. And so when we think of it that way, that we would have nothing without God, that we are nothing without God, and so we think of it in that way, that because of God's blessings for us, we have food, we have shelter, we have clothing, we have nice houses. And so when God puts additional resources into our hands and above and beyond what our basic daily needs are, it is God's will then that we use that money to advance the kingdom and to promote the gospel, the good news of the gospel in areas of the world, not just our hometown, not just here in America, but all over the world, to encourage believers and bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, we're going to look in Genesis, the principle of the tithe, and this is an Old Testament teaching. God doesn't necessarily require the tithe in the New Testament. That's my belief in the New Covenant, that He doesn't necessarily require the tithe, but in the New Covenant, I believe God's expectation for us is that we even give more than the tithe, that the New Covenant includes a desire, it should include a desire in us to give even more than what the Old Testament requirement of the tithe was. And so the tithe was 10% of the goods, 10% of whatever comes into your hand, and that was the requirement in the Old Testament. But I believe, again, that the expectation from God is for us to give even more in the New Covenant. And maybe, beloved, that you can do that. You can set a purpose in your mind. You can purpose to give more. Maybe give your tithe up to 20% or 30%. I've heard of some pastors who have actually reverse the tithe, and they're actually living on 10% of their income, and they're giving 90% away. And so that would be the ultimate goal, is just to live on a small fraction of what you take in and give the rest away to missionaries, to the local church, to aid organizations that go out and promote the gospel and give humanitarian relief and humanitarian aid in the name of Jesus Christ. And so this is the Old Testament story of Abram's nephew Lot, who was dwelling in Sodom. In chapter 14 of Genesis, verse 12, it says, Lot was taken. This was in a battle Lot was taken, Abram's brother's son who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. Then one who had escaped came and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt by the terebinth tree of Mamre. Now when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his 318 trained servants who were born in his house and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And then verse 16, he brought back Lot and all of the goods. Abram was able to catch up with them, the captors of Lot, and Abram caught up with them. He retrieved, or he took Lot and away from the captors, and he brought all of the goods back, all of Lot's people, his women and children. Verse 16, so he brought back all the goods and also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shavre, that is, in the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Verse 18, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And most people believe that Melchizedek, the king of Salem or Jerusalem, was a type and shadow of Jesus Christ. He was a man with no genealogy. He just appears in the Bible with no description, no genealogy, no record of where he came from, no record of what happened to him after these events. It says he brought out bread and wine to Abram, and he blessed Abram after this skirmish, and after Abram had retrieved Lot, his brother, and all of the goods. And in verse 19, Melchizedek blessed Abram and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him, that is, Abram gave him a tithe of everything that he had. And so Abram set the precedent, he set the standard. He was the one who established the principle of the tithe, because he gave Melchizedek one-tenth of all the goods that he had acquired in that battle. And so that is where we get the principle of the tithe. That is where the idea of giving 10% of our income to the Lord comes from. And people ask, well, should I give 10% of my gross, or should I give 10% of my net income, or 10% of my taxable income, or whatever? Don't be legalistic about it. As I said before, you know, God's desire is for your heart, beloved. God's desire is for your heart. He wants to speak to your heart. He wants to capture your heart, and he wants everything that you can give. He wants beyond the 10%, and so it doesn't really matter whether you think about tithing on the gross or the net or the taxable income or whatever. Any resources that come into your hand, beloved, they come from God Almighty. Any resources that come into your hand, were it not for God, you would have nothing, you would be nothing. And so the blessings, even the sunshine that you get each day on your face, the wind that blows through your hair, everything that comes to you, the water that you drink, comes from the Lord. And so the more that you can bless the Lord back, the more that you can give back to the kingdom, you're going to be blessed by it. When you give back to the kingdom, you're going to be blessed in the measure that you measure out. We looked at Luke 6:38 last week, and that scripture is very appropriate here. That Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given. Pressed down, shaken together, good measure, it shall be given into your bosom, and with the measure you measure out, it shall be measured unto you. And so, beloved, when you measure out with a tiny thimble or a spoonful, that's what you're going to get back. And when you measure out with great generosity, when you measure out with great abundance, and you use a big measure, and you give everywhere where you see God moving, and you see God working, and you give, you say, I want to get in on that project, I want to see that orphanage project come to completion, I want to see the gospel preached in Africa, I want to see the local church thrive so that they can get out and do everything that they want to do. When you see those things happening and God moving in the kingdom, then you want to participate. And when you participate with your money, you're seeing souls that are being saved. You're going to see people come to know the Lord Jesus. And all of these kingdom projects that are presented to you are an opportunity for you to partner with God. They're an opportunity for you to come alongside what God is doing and to bless the kingdom of God here on this earth. Well, another story that we can look at, if you have your Bible, turn it to 2 Samuel. And this is a story of David, King David, and he has numbered the people of Israel, which was not God's will. He has numbered the people of Israel, and God was angry with him, and so God decided to punish King David, and he gave him the opportunity to choose what his own punishment would be. And of the three things that God presented to David, David chose that there would be a plague go through Israel. He said in 24 verse 14, David said to Gad the prophet, "I am in great distress. Please let us fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are great, but do not let me fall into the hand of man." So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel from the morning till the appointed time, and from Dan to Beersheba, 70,000 men of the people died. And so David was responsible because of his mistake, because of his lack of judgment, his lack of wisdom. He was responsible for the deaths of 70,000 Israelites, his fellow brethren. 70,000 of them died from this plague. And so David was in great distress. Well, you can imagine if your mistake caused 70,000 people to die, that would be very heart-wrenching, and it would cause you great distress and great sadness. And so David, in verse 17, spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel of the Lord at the threshing floor of Arana, the Jebusite. And so David spoke to the Lord when he saw the angel who was striking the people and said, "Surely I have sinned and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray, be against me and against my father's house." So David is begging the Lord to stop the plague and stop the slaughter of his innocent brethren. And David is saying, "Let your hand, God, fall upon me. I want to take responsibility for my mistake. I want to take responsibility for my lack of judgment." And he is begging God to stop this plague amongst the people. Well, verse 18, Gad came that day to David, that is the prophet Gad came to David, and he said to David, "Go up and erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arana the Jebusite." So David, according to the word of God, went up as the Lord commanded, and now Arana looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Arana went out, and he bowed before the king with his face to the ground. Then Arana said, "Why has the Lord the king come to his servant?" And David said, "To buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people." So David is doing what the prophet asked him to do. He's doing what he feels the right thing to do. He's going to Arana to purchase the threshing floor and build an altar to the Lord that the plague would be stopped, because David's heart was for his people and he had great distress and grief because what was happening with the plague going through his people. Verse 22, "Now Arana said to David, 'Let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to you. Look, here are oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing implements, the yokes of oxen for wood. All these, O king, Arana has given to the king.' And Arana said to the king, 'May the Lord your God accept you.' And then the king said to Arana, 'No, I will surely buy it at a price from you, nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing.'" And so David is saying, "I appreciate your offer, Arana. I thank you for offering these things to me." And Arana had offered him everything. He had offered him the oxen for the sacrifice, the threshing implements, the yokes, everything. He's saying, "David, here, you take it, and you can have it. It's all yours. You're the king, and it's all yours to have." And David says, "No, I will surely buy it from you, all of this, the threshing floor, the oxen, the yokes, all that. David said, I want to buy it from you because I don't want to take from you something that is free and offer it to the Lord. David says, I want to give that which costs me something. I want to give as a sacrifice that which has cost me a price, and I will give that to the Lord as the offering. And so David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Verse 25, and David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. And so the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. And so David stopped the plague. He made an offering to the Lord, but he did it with something that cost him a great amount of money, 50 shekels of silver, and he did it because he did not want to make an offering to the Lord with something that had no cost attached to it, and he would not have to give or sacrifice anything to get it. And well, the point for you, beloved, the point for us is that sometimes we just need to sacrifice in a way that costs us something. We need to sacrifice. If you have a prayer on your heart and something going on in your life, something going on in your family, maybe your finances are in a turmoil or in a wreck, and you need to turn your finances around. Maybe your family, your children, your grown children are wandering way away from the Lord, and you've been making appeals to God. You've been praying to God. You haven't seen anything happen. Make a sacrificial offering to the Lord. Offer up to God that which has cost you something. Maybe you've got a savings account, maybe you've got IRAs or whatever. Make an offering to the Lord and say, God, this is my offering. You know the sacrifice that I have made to acquire this money or acquire this car or acquire this land, whatever it is. You know the sacrifices, Lord. You know that it has cost me a great deal of work, of toil, of labor, of saving, and I'm making this sacrificial offering to you, and I'm putting it out there with the expectation that, God, you're going to see my sacrifice. You're going to see the pain that I've gone through to accumulate this, and the work and the toil that I've gone through to accumulate this, and I'm putting this out there, Lord, as a sacrificial offering to you. Beloved, if you do that, I guarantee you will see God move in some way, in a mighty way that you've not seen him move before. You will see God move in a way that will encourage you, and it will strengthen your faith, strengthen your walk, and you'll be encouraged to make more sacrificial offerings in the days ahead. Don't expect to get something from God if you are not willing to give up something that is very special to you yourself. Beloved, I've had to give up a great deal to be a missionary, be out there on the point of the spear preaching the gospel in Africa. I've had to give up a lot. I don't want to detail everything. I can't even detail everything. But I can tell you this. If you want to move forward in the kingdom, and you want to get higher in the kingdom, you're going to have to give up things that are important to you. You're going to have to give up things that have special value to you. But I can tell you this, there's nothing more fulfilling than moving forward in your walk with the Lord, moving forward in your walk in spreading the gospel and seeing that the kingdom of God goes to the far ends of the earth. But you're going to have to give up something to see that happen. And God knows your sacrifice. He knows whatever you give up, whether it's friends or time with your friends, time with your family, time with your hobbies, whatever it is, whatever you have to give up. Maybe it's just money, write out checks. But whatever it is that you give up, God sees your sacrifice. He sees, and he will reward you accordingly. Well, we're going to finish up today with 2 Corinthians 9, a scripture we talked about briefly last week, and it is in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But I say this to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Beloved, God sees your heart. He knows if you're holding on to your money. He knows if you're stingy and you don't want to give anything when the church offering goes by. And this scripture says that you're to purpose in your heart. You decide before you walk into the church. You decide before you listen to this radio broadcast, or you decide before you meet some missionary. You decide, you purpose in your heart what you want to give. You make a dedicated, purposeful offering. Say, Lord, this is my sacrifice. Lord, this is my offering. This is what I want to give to see the kingdom move forward. You purpose in your heart, and God then purposes in his heart to bless you and to reward you as he takes your offering and as he moves, establishes the plans of man. God is the one that establishes our plans. We have our plans, but they are established by the Lord. And God moves the pieces of the puzzle, and he moves the pieces around on the board and puts people in places and puts ministries in places, puts missionaries in places. And all of this is because people purpose in their heart to give into the kingdom of God. And then it goes on to say, for God loves a cheerful giver. God doesn't want you to hold your money in your tight fist and he just has to pry your hand open and pry your fingers open so that he can get to your money. He loves a cheerful giver. He loves people that understand that the kingdom of God is built upon generous giving. The kingdom of God is built upon those who understand that God is the source of everything that we have. That the kingdom of God is built upon the predication that we are beneficiaries of all the blessings of God. Without him, we would have nothing. And so when we give back what God has blessed us with, when we give back into the kingdom, then God says, oh, I like that. I'm going to bless that giver. I'm going to bless those who are receiving of that offering. I'm going to bless the ministries, the missionaries, all those things. And God is the one then who makes it all happen. Verse 10 in 2 Corinthians 9, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Beloved, when you sow into the kingdom, you are increasing the fruit of your own righteousness. When the farmer puts that one seed of wheat into the ground, you can't hardly find it out there in the drill row behind the drill. You can't hardly find that wheat seed. But when it comes up, that head then forms, and there's many, many, I don't know, it varies, 50 to 100 kernels on that wheat head. And so that's the law of multiplication. That's the law. When you put the seed in there into the kingdom, God takes that seed, he multiplies it, he spreads it out, he causes it to expand in a way that no man can. And he takes that seed, the seed from the sower, and he multiplies that seed, and it increases not only the righteousness for us, but it also expands the kingdom. And missionaries can do their work, churches can do their work, radio broadcasts, television broadcasts, all these works can be done because people sow that seed in the kingdom. They believe in what God's doing, and they say, I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. I want to see God move in this area, in Africa, in Asia, in Central America, wherever, the inner cities of America. And so you sow your seed. Yes, you keep the bread, you keep the money that you need for provision to pay your house expenses, your car expenses. You keep that. That is the bread for food and your food supply. But that seed, you don't eat your seed. You don't use up your seed. You keep that seed and you keep putting that seed in the ground. You keep putting that seed in fertile ground so that God can take that seed, grow that plant, grow that ministry, and cause that seed that you give to multiply, and the kingdom of God then goes forward to all the ends of the earth. Well, beloved, I hope that you have enjoyed these messages on giving. God wants us to be cheerful givers. God wants us to understand that the money that he puts in our hands, the resources that he puts in our hands, comes from him. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights above. In him there is no change and no shifting shadow. And so when you bless the kingdom back, God will in turn bless you with the same measure that you use. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. Again, we invite you to partner with this ministry for the radio broadcasts and also for the projects that we have going in Africa, the Living Water Orphanage Project and the Crusades we're going to be preaching this summer. And so we invite you to partner with us. Stay tuned at the end of this broadcast here in just a moment for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.